Greetings. I want to welcome you today to this service where we talk about the Word of God once again. As we continue to learn about what God wants us to hear, as we all know that the Word of God is the counsel of God, and that's the mind of God, as we have been taught. So, whatever God writes in the Bible or inspired men to write in the Bible, that's exactly what he wants us to hear. So it's very important that we understand. Now, so when you look back at the previous teachings, we're emphasizing the importance of the authority of the Word of God. Now, as long as we understand that the Word of God has authority, it means then whatever the Word of God is going to say, we are going to follow that. And that's exactly the relationship God needs to have. God needs to have with us, where we understand what he says to us, and then we obey what he says to us. That's very important. So that's a very good beginning, where we understand that the Word of God has authority. He has already spoken the word. It's asked for us to listen to what he has said. And in my previous teachings, I've said that this is the beginning of the miracle. Because if you want the Word of God to say something, if you want God to do something in your life, and if you want the Word of God to relate to you in a way, it means that you're going to have to believe in the Word first. So that's the beginning. The beginning of a miracle is when we believe in the Word of God. So when we believe in the Word of God, then we will then start try to understand what the Word wants us to do, what God wants us to do, so that the Word of God start to relate to us. That's why I was saying last time that sometimes we want to quote the verse in the Bible, but we don't want the transformation which the Word of God has to do to us in order to then that word to relate to us. So you have to go through the transformation first so that you become the person who God wants you to be. And then the word become relevant to you in your life, and the scriptures which are in the Bible becomes relevant to you. Very important. So it's just the transformation you have to go through. So that when we are transformed, we are becoming the children who God wants us to be. The Bible says, for those who received him, he gave them the power or the right to be called the children of God. So when we receive the Word of God, when we believe in the Word of God, when we understand that the Word of God is pertaining to us, when we understand that God is actually speaking to us, it means that he then give us the right to become his children. So that when we are his children, whatever he says in his word become relevant to us. So it's us who withhold whatever it is God want us to do in the scriptures. It's not God. Because whatever God promises, he always fulfills. So whatever he says in the scriptures is always very true. But the question is, how does it relate to us? So sometimes it doesn't relate simply because I have not received. It doesn't relate because I have not actually understood what the Word of God wants me to do, so that I can then relate or the Word of God become relevant to me. So go through the transformation first. You see, Jesus at one point, he says, you don't do the will of my Father. You don't do my will, but you do the will of your father, the devil. Because what he was demonstrating at that point was the fact that if you are my children, therefore you have to follow what I'm saying. If you are my children, you have to understand what I am saying. Just like a father saying something to the son or to the child, the child will listen because it's the father who's speaking. But in that case, Jesus was saying that you don't do my will, meaning that he's saying that you are not part of me. You are not my children. But remember, in contrast, now the word of God, it says, John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, for those who received him, he gave them the right to be called the children of God. So you earn the right by receiving the word of God, by saying the word relates to me. So in other words, when God is speaking, don't say this word is for someone. when the scripture is saying something, don't say it's for someone different. He says it's for me. So that if the word changes you, then you become the son. So you become the child. You become the one who the word is talking about. Very important. But it's very important. So we need to... The miracle only happens when we believe in the word. Remember the parable of a sower. Remember, I always say this, the parable of a sower, when Jesus was talking about the parable of a sower, the seed was constant. In other words, the seed was just the same. But the type of the soil was different. So the yield became different because the type of soil was different, but the seed was the same. So it's what you do with the word which carries weight. What do you do with the word? How do you believe in the word? How does the word relate to you? You see, it relates to you when you now believe in the word. Remember, we pray Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. That's what we need to understand. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. Right? So the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. But I like something very important, where the Bible then says, towards the end, the Bible says, goodness and love will be with me all my life. So it means goodness will follow you. But that's as long as you understand that the Lord is your shepherd, you have everything you need. You believe that. No matter you're in poverty, but you believe in the word. No matter you are struggling, but you believe in the word. No matter whatever it is, challenging situation you are going through, but you believe in the word. No matter, because it's, you see, we don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. So it's the faith you believe before it happens. That's what it is. You believe in something which you don't see. That's what it is. We have to believe. So for that thing to happen, if you walk by sight, you are always intimidated, because you always see things which are very difficult. You always see things which are impossible. You always see things which are not able to achieve, because you are adding 1 + 1. You definitely see an answer. But if you walk by sight, the word of God may not apply to you. But if you walk by faith, because you believe. So last week and this week, when we talk about teaching about Passover, we're teaching about the fact that when Jesus was giving the bread, he says, "This is my body." But he's giving the bread. But he said, "This is my body." But he's giving the bread. So it meant that it needed a tremendous amount of faith for people to understand that they are actually partaking in the body of Christ. You see, so we have to believe, we have to have the faith that will drive us to another level. Because if you are not, we are seeing that things physically, it means that we are so limited in so many ways, because when you add things, they don't add up. You see, when they don't add up, then it affects the way we believe. So I'll draw you back again to the word of God, which I have spoken about. You know, when God had spoken to, I always want to repeat this, because I may be, by repetition, people will start to understand certain things. I spoke about the word of God when God spoke to Isaac. He says, "Do not leave this place, but stay in that place which was famine hit." It was a famine hit area. So stay in the area. That was the instruction of God. And he did. Following that, an instruction came to God. It says, "Sow in the dry ground." Right? Sow in the dry ground. It's so difficult. First of all, how can you stay in the dry land when you know that there is harvest next door? So physically, it doesn't make any sense. But in the spirit, as God speaks, it makes a lot of sense, because it's God speaking. Because he can make everything or anything he wants possible. So stay in the dry ground, stay in the place where is famine hit. And then later on, sow in the dry ground. So difficult. Because when you want to make sense of it, it doesn't make sense. But sow in the dry ground. He did sow in the dry ground. And the Bible says he harvested 100-fold. So, hundredfold was hidden in the instruction of God. So, plenty of harvest was hidden in the word of God. But the word of God was coming to him where there was every reason for him to dispute. There was every reason for him to dispute because, you know, using his own sense, things didn't make any sense at the time. But do not leave that place. Stay in the place where it's fame and heat. And then from there, another instruction, sow in the dry ground. It's not just to relate to us. It relates to us in so many ways. But there are so many things which God probably has spoken to you about, and when you try to make sense of them, they don't make sense. When you try to make sense of them, they don't make sense because you are thinking, but it doesn't make sense. But what we need to understand is that, remember, the Bible says, man shall not live on bread alone, but by all the words which comes from the mouth of God. So the mouth of God, and actually when you read the origin of that scripture, the Bible actually says that he gave them manna, so he got them into the desert, and he even told them to do certain things or to move in certain ways, but he wanted to test them to see how they will respond. But he provided manna from nothing. But remember, from the beginning of the creation of the world, of all the earth, where God was saying with the word, let there be. Right? Let there be, and things will become. Let there be. He speak the word, things become. Let there be, things become. Why? Because he is the owner of everything. He's the creator of heaven and earth. So whatever he says, he can speak by the word, things begin to happen. So that's why it was not easy, difficult for him just to say, okay, you know, just so in the dry ground, something will happen, and hundredfold was there. So, but it needs a lot of faith for us to be able to at that level. So I'm saying to the church today, that sometimes God speaks to us about things which are extremely difficult. But we have to believe in the word. When God speaks to us in things which are very challenging, which are difficult, most importantly, and most of the time, there is a hidden benefit which God wants us to have. Remember, when God was speaking to Abraham, he says, give me your son, the one you love, because he had two sons. But he had the one he loved most. God knew that he loved Isaac most. So give me the son, the one you love. Okay? And so when you look at it, that scenario, what you'll find that is difficult. Just imagine when you God is saying to you, your child, the one you love, and then he said, sacrifice, give the child to me, kill the child. I mean, that's exactly what happened, because the Bible is the truth. That's exactly what happened. So when he set off for the journey, when he was doing, remember when he was asked to do that, the following morning, that's what the Bible says, the following morning, he set on a journey and went. So when he was asking, when the son was asking that, we have the firewood, we've got everything, but where is the sacrifice? What are we going to sacrifice? Then he says, God will provide. But my point I want you to understand is that he was embarking on a very difficult journey to go and kill his son. Very, very difficult. Very, very extremely difficult. Almost impossible. But when he did that, it was a test, because God didn't want to test him. But when he did that, he says that you have not withheld your son. It meant that to God, he was demonstrating another level of loving, another level of obedience, another level of understanding, another level. And that opened another door. But, you know, as we know, Abraham was already rich at the time anyway. But the Bible talks about a blessing now. So meaning that it was, what God was waiting for, to see if he's going to withhold his son. But out of that came even more blessings. So my point I'm just making is that sometimes when God asks us to do things which are nearly impossible, or what we think with our own hearts or with our own mind they are impossible, there's something major, something big, our benefit, which is something very, very big. But because we're just intimidated by the fact that we can't do it, that's where the problem is. So we can't realize the benefit because we have not tried it again. Anyway, remember, I've always said, when Abraham, God says, move away from the place you are to a place I'm going to show you. Things began to happen because he had moved from where he was. You see, so Abraham did not pray a prayer to say, God, show me what you want me to have, where the place you are going to be showing me. No, he started by going. Go from your father's household to a place I am going to show you. So he did that. So when he did that, God began to speak to him, because we understand that he met him at another point as well, and then he started to talk to him again. So you activate what God wants you to do in your life by taking the first step. By taking the first step, because if Abraham had not moved from his father's household, there was no way God was going to do anything, because he had not done the first instruction. So as you sit there, or as you listen to me today, think about the fact that sometimes you are holding on the key to your success as far as God is concerned, because when God speaks to you about something, he wants you to fulfill that so that he can go to the next stage and another stage and that way. So it's very important. So anyway, so that this was just for us to understand and just for us to know. But today I want to talk about another word. What I want you to do today, we're going to work together, but what I want you to do today, even as you listen to me, I want to, we're going to read the Bible from the book of Acts. But as we read the Word of God, I want us to understand, to examine you examine yourself. That's how we're going to do it together. You examine yourself. And what we're going to do, we are going to read the Word of God first, then I'm going to say what I am going to say. So the book, the Bible comes, so the reading comes from the book of Acts, chapter 13. And verse 22.
Acts chapter 13 from verse 22. After removing him, God made David their king. This is what God said about him. I have found that David, son of Jesse, is the kind of man I like. A man who will do all I want him to do.
Okay, thank you. I will read my translation. It says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Thank you very much. So now, so last week we talked about the heart. And we talked about the importance of the heart, and we were saying that the heart is, when you look medically, we find that the heart is pumps the blood into all parts of the body. But what we need to understand is that God works with the heart. So here the Bible is referring to when they had removed God had removed Saul, he put David as the king of Israel at the time. But he made a comment to say, in fact, it's all narrated in the book of Samuel anyway. But the Bible says God, he referred David as a man after God's own heart. So David was referred to by God as a man after God's own heart. Very important. So now today, what we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about two things as we worship God. But I want us to understand that it's very important that we can examine ourselves. You examine yourself as a Christian or as an individual to see yourself and to take stock of the way you worship God. But so today, what I want to talk about, here we've heard the word of God. The word of God says David was a man after God's own heart. So here's the thing. So David will follow, okay? David will go and do what God wants. In other words, David was connected to what God wanted. So in other words, David, now if you look at the story of David, David is not one of the was not one of the people who say he walked a clean life before God. He did quite a lot of other things which were not good before God. But God realized that he was a man who was after God's own heart. So here's the thing. In other words, so David's life was following, was following what God wanted. In other words, he was attracted to God's own heart, if we translate it. So the Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. Now, so today what we're going to do, I want to talk about things which I can refer to as a pull factor and a push factor. A pull factor, in this case, I am going to say, there is something which pulls you to come and worship God. And there's something which pushes you to come to God. But these two are totally different. Now, we've heard here in the scripture, the Bible says David was referred to as a man after God's own heart. So in other words, in his mind or in his heart, David will follow what God is saying. That's what attracted him. Because otherwise the scripture would have not referred him to be a man after God's own heart. So in other words, the Bible is teaching us about how David's heart was like. We will follow what God was saying. A man after God's own heart. So you will try to follow. You will follow what God is actually saying. So I want you to consider these things now. That in your own worship, the way you worship God, think about it. I want you to find out which one is a pull factor of your worshiping God. And which one is a push factor. And I'll give you the examples. Now, the pull factor is what it is that attracts you to come to God. What is it that attracts you or is like a magnet for you to come to church? That's a pull factor. The push factor is what are you running away from, which pushes you to come to church. Now, if we identify these things, that will help us to be able to understand where we are with God. Now, so if we are being, so someone who is being pulled by something unto God, it means that the way he's going to respond to what God is saying is totally different from the one who is being pushed to come to church. So when you are being pulled, there is some force which is actually attracting you to come. And probably, I don't know, if it's about Jesus dying for you at the cross, I don't know. It's about understanding that, God is the one who created heaven and earth and is the one who have created you as a human being. And you know very well that you were created to worship God. But I don't know, maybe something like you are running away. You are seeking something, you are looking for something, but the only thing is that that thing you only believe that probably God is the only one who can actually give you. That's not a push. That's not a pull factor, but it's a push. You are running away from something. You think that God is the only one who will be able to provide you with a refuge or whatever. Why is it important to understand this? It's important because then the benefits for these two things are totally different. Now, if you look at the push factors, what you realize is that they are mostly to do with you're looking at yourself. I don't have a job. God is the only one who can give me a job. I don't have my marriage is in such a problem. It isn't God who is going to do something on this marriage. You know, I'm going through this difficult thing. It's only God, I believe. So you're running away from that thing and you're coming to God. So when you really look at it, what you then find at the end is that all these things are actually centered around you. They're never centered around God. But actually, they're actually centered around what you're looking for. Why is it important to know? It's important to know so that we know where we are. Because the Bible says there's nothing you do in the house of God which will be in vain. So in other words, even the Bible says, you know, everyone's going to be judged according to what they've done, whether it's good or bad. So if we rely more on push factors, it means then that if you get what you want, probably you will not really concentrate much on seeking God. Because it's a push factor, it's not a pull factor. You're not being pulled to God, but you're being pushed to God. But the Bible says David was referred to as a man after God's own heart. So in other words, he will seek God. He will try. Now, see, the thing is, David was a man. He understood who God was. He understood what it means that you know, this is what God has actually done. You know, there was a time when God there was a time when he was being pursued by Saul, and there was an opportunity that he would be able was actually able to kill Saul. But what he says is that he, if even the people around him gave him the to say that you've got the opportunity to kill, but he demonstrated that he understood that you know you cannot touch a man who has been anointed by God. Why? Because his understanding of God was much, much more deeper than what people could see. Therefore, you couldn't do anything. So he understood. So my point I'm making is that we have to come to a level where we understand what God wants. You see, if it was any other ordinary man, you say, oh, this is my opportunity. I am my opportunity. This man is troubling me. And you have just killed him. And it was very possible, but it says, I cannot touch a man who has been anointed by God. And then this man came from war when he was talking about the fact that he had actually, you know, he had seen Saul almost dying, and then said, he said, okay, just you know that I'm dying, but just finish me off. And he did. And then he came to David, he said, this is what I've done. And I said, what have you done? You have killed an anointed person. And then David killed him. So my point I'm just trying to make for you to understand is that, so he was called a man after God's own heart because he understood very much about what God wanted, what God liked, what God did not like. He understood that very much. And that was a pull factor for him. And he continued to live a life where he will seek what God wanted in his life. In other words, so whatever it is he was doing, was a pull factor for him. He was pulled by what he understood. He was pulled by what he understood. He was connected to God, and God loved him for that. The Bible actually says here, it says, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, says my translation, which shall fulfill all my will. So he was after God's own heart. He understood what God wanted, and he pursued that. Now, so why is it relevant in our life today? It's relevant in our life today because sometimes our worship is mainly based on things which we are running away from. Our worship mainly, I'm just saying that this is what we need to examine ourselves, me included, to examine what is it that pulls you unto God? What is it that pushes you unto God? When we are, the Bible says, what separates us away from the love of God? Is it poverty? Is it lack? Is it whatever it is? There shouldn't be anything which come in between ourselves and our God. Whatever it is that we may go through, we need to establish an understanding and a connection where every time of our life we are attracted to God, not by what we are looking for, not by what we are running away from, but by what we understand about our God. That's why last time when we were teaching about understanding about God, it's about understanding who He is, His power, and everything else. So that, you know, nothing will stop us away from the love of God. Whether it's like, whatever it is that we can go through, nothing is big enough for us to respond to that. What we need to do is to continue to be attracted to God despite what we have or what we don't have. Now, so I want you to write a list in your life. You know your list. Write a list at your own time or now or whatever, but write a list under these two headings. What are my pull factors? What are my push factors of coming to church? What are my push factors for worshiping God? What are my pull factors of worshiping God? So if the push factors are more, then we, in any situation, we have to review anyway our worship, because sometimes, I don't know, sometimes the world or sometimes the way we understand God can actually be so distant from what He wants us to understand Him. So, you know, push factors are these things we are running away from, or things we are looking for, and things we want to achieve as people, and things which we want to have, and things which we want to own, and things which we want to be able to do, or whatever. The list is just endless. But the most important thing you need to establish, so you are actually know where you are as a person, that am I attracted to God because of my push factors? Am I attracted to God because of what I'm looking for? Am I being attracted to God because of what I don't have? Am I attracted to God because of what I am looking for in life? Or am I attracted to God because I know who He is, and I'm after His own heart like David was? I know He sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for me. Every Sunday I have to be in church to worship Him, to praise Him, to give Him the honor He deserves. Whatever it is, He said, I try to do because I understand that I am His child. Because the child will always go back home. The child will always come back to his father. The child will always understand who his father is. So these are the things which we need to be thinking about as Christians, so that we start to analyze our Christianity ourselves. Because if we are all about running after this, running after that, wanting this and wanting that, and not paying attention on who God is as a supreme being, then probably we need to revise ourselves. The world right now is now full of, you know, it's about what you have, it's about what you own, it's about what you can do, it's about power to people rather than power to God. You see, so it's something which we need to think about. So, David was regarded as a man who was after God's own heart. I want you to start to think along the lines of David. What is it that David looked at God and say, and God regarded him as a man after his own heart? When you come to church, you see, when people come to church and they are being asked, "Oh, please let us sing for God, let us." It means maybe it's why you are here. Maybe it's actually a push factor. It's not a pull factor, because it's a pull factor. I understand that my God, I have to praise Him. I cannot withhold anything for Him. Remember, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So when you are in the house of God, you praise. You don't hold anything back. You are like a mad person because of your God, because you are praising Him. David, you see, the Bible also, the same Bible says, he danced like, you know, and until the wife started making comments. You know, the wife became so uncomfortable. Then how can a king dance like this? Why? Because he was a man after God's own heart. He understood very well. That is, he was, you know, praising God for what he had done. He couldn't withhold anything, you see. So, my point I want you to understand in life, we have got push factors. Those are the things we are running away from, things we are looking for, or things which pushes us to know that maybe God is the only one I can run to because of one thing I'm looking for, or because two things I'm looking for, or these things I'm running away from, or these evil spirits, or whatever it is. But on the other hand, we can also seek God is according to what He says in the scriptures, that men were created for that same reason of just worshiping God. So you are here, whether you have got anything or nothing, you are just praising God, and you are just happy for God, and just happy to be alive, and you are just someone who is just seeking God. Just seeking God. Remember last week when we were talking about the heart, you see? See, Jesus, when He called the disciples, you see, the disciples, they just said, "Come follow Me." They did follow. But if they were going to use their own thinking to say, "So how about my family? How about my job? How about my..." All these reasons, they were going to start to come. And definitely they were not going to follow Jesus, because they were going to use the mind. But "Come follow Me," you just decide by your heart and you go. So sometimes the heart is very important. It's a very important organ to use in when we decide about things, especially of God. Because when we want to rationalize and want to think about things, there are certain things which will not make sense. So therefore, you will not do anything, because you are thinking 1 + 1. It doesn't add up. You see. So my sermon today was really to draw to your attention the fact that there are some factors. Probably, if we don't think about them, or you don't look at them, we will just continue. But when you really look at them, you will find that probably my worship is only based on what I'm looking for. My worship is only based on what I'm running away from. My worship is only based on what I want to achieve. Yet, we are supposed to seek God no matter what. We have to be attracted to God. And when we come to worship Him, we have to give everything in terms of our strength, our love for Him. And everything. Why? Because He says, "Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." So it's very important. So the Bible says, So when God, when they removed Saul, God was put in place. David was put in place, and God made a comment to say, David was a man after my own heart. My point I'm making to you is that your worship and the way you worship God, let it be determined by the pull factors. But you need to analyze yourself to understand, to see what is it that pushes you to God. Is it what you are looking for? Is it what you are running away from? Is it what you don't have? Is it what you want God to give you? Or is it the understanding of who God is in your life? Those are factors that are totally different. But it's up to you to go and look at them and see. But when we concentrate on who God is, what he says, and him being the supreme being, it means that the reward is going to be great. The reward is going to be great, because the issue is that, remember, I was giving you these examples where I was saying to you that Isaac was asked to remain in the dry ground. If he was going to think about this with his own brain, he would say, no. This is not going to happen. My children are going to starve here. So I know that's what you have said, but I'm going to do this. You understand what I'm talking about? So you use the brain rather than the heart. And then he was just going to go. But he understood who God was. So his heart loved God. So he stayed, as God was saying. So there are certain times where we use our brain, where we are actually supposed to use our hearts. When you use our brain, we always rationalize things, and then we end up not doing what God is saying, because it's kind of difficult, it's impossible, because we rationalize, we think about it. Yet sometimes God wants us to use the heart, you know, to say, you know, if God is saying this, then we actually do what he's actually saying based on what the heart is saying. David was regarded to be as a man who was after God's own heart. So in other words, he was seeking God. He was doing all the things which people may thought at the time was actually not a reasonable thing. For how can you not? Your enemy is just here. Your enemy is just right in front of you. And your enemy, you can actually kill your enemy. But you're not killing your enemy. Do you understand what I'm saying? But his heart was about what God said. You know, no matter what my enemy is pursuing me, but I have to find out what God said. God said, touch not the anointed. I'm just giving an example because that's quite a relevant example. And because that's what God had said, and he didn't. You see, but in the eyes of people, that was kind of like, how can you do that if your life is in danger? In other words. So my point I'm making to you is that we have to understand what the word of God says, and we have to rise. That's what I was saying the other time, that we have to, you see, in worshiping God, we have to rise to another level where, because if we remain in our fleshly way, we always rationalize things in a fleshly way, in a physical way. When we are looking at things, you always think and decide in a physical way. But when we rise to another level, it means that sometimes we'll start to think in a different way, because our mind will be renewed and we'll start to think things in a spiritual way. So anyway, my word today was really to think about yourself as a Christian. What are the factors which drives you to come to church? Is it things which you are looking for? Is it things which you are hiding away from? Things which you are running away from? Is it things which you want to achieve? Are these things which you want? Are those the main purpose of worshiping God? Or is it that you actually understand that God is the supreme being, and that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us at the cross, and you are grateful about that, and your heart longs for you to be in the church every day and worshiping God? And I'm saying to you, sometimes if you are that kind of person, you don't need any motivation to do anything. Why? Because you know what is attracting you, and what is calling you, and what is like, it's coming like a magnet for you to be in church. So these are the things I think which you need to think about. which calls for a bit of another level for us to move to, so that we are able really to seek God's own heart as David was. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. So if you are after God's own heart, you may start to do certain things which other people may find a bit odd, because they are not really making sense. But because God is saying, you just do it. You see, the disciples, when they were fishing, spending the whole night not catching any fish, but when Jesus came, he says, no, you need to put the net this side. They didn't question that, you know, listen, you have been here for the whole night. But they just did, because Jesus had said. So sometimes it's about what God is saying. It's about what Jesus is saying. It's about what actually God is actually saying to you. That's what is very important. So today I'll set to explain to you the word of God, and that there are two factors. The way you come to church, it's only two factors which drives you. It's either a driving factor, a pulling factor, or a pushing factor. You can categorize anything, any reason why you come to church. You can categorize in only those two factors, push or pull. I think we need to look into how we can move more to the pull factor, because that's very important. You will not trade your God for anything when your pull factors are more. The push factors, maybe you get them, whatever it is you're looking for, maybe that's the end of you. You say, I've got what I wanted. It's something to think about. So my word today was really for us to look at our worship, look at the way we worship God, and look at what attracts us. What is it that which pushes us to come to church? Is it that pull factor? Is it that pull factor? Is it that you're looking for something? Is it that you're running away from something? Is it that you are focusing on yourself as an individual? Or you're actually understanding that actually God is the ultimate, the supreme being who's worthy to be worshipped? Those are the factors which we need to consider and think about. And really think about and in your life as a Christian, and start to concentrate on probably more pull factors. Why? Because whatever it is that happens, you will never lose your God. But if you concentrate on push factors, sometimes when you are free now, when the devil is not following you anymore, maybe you can get relaxed and you start doing other things again. You see, what is it that you're looking for in life? What is it that's those are things which you need to be thinking about today. Thank you very much for your listening, but I think it's some homework which you need to think about. And I actually think that once we are able to solve this, yourself as an individual, you'll be able to be in a better place to understand what drives you to come to church, what drives you to come to God, what drives you to come to the house of God, or to God in general. So that's my words, really, just to think about, so that we live a life of a purpose, and then we come to church with a purpose. So we do things with a purpose, and then so that if even God says something to you in your life which you need to be actually doing, whether it's difficult, whether it's you find it's I can't do it because it's too difficult, but when there's a pull factor, you always put your effort so that you know, God will understand that you love him that much. So that's my word today. Thank you very much for your listening. And may we go there and really start to think about what are my push factors to come to church. What are my pull factors to come to church? May God bless you. Thank you very much for listening. We'll meet again next week, where we continue to talk about the word of God, and where we continue to explore the truth of God. So we do what is right in God's presence. Thank you very much for listening. May God bless you.